Okay, good morning, Jutta in Melbourne. How are you?
Good morning, me in Melbourne and you in Melbourne. I'm excellent. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Before the massive heat wave is going to come today again, we just
I
have a
know.
nice
I
little
know. Here.
cooling interview
You
time.
know when the cool change will come?
No, I don't
Oh.
know.
I just make my own. Okay. Yeah.
So you are Jutta Klipsch, and you're empowering women after a breakup or a divorce with their partner. So do you want to introduce yourself and tell me a bit about yourself and what you're doing?
Yeah, no worries. So I'm a coach, and yes, I'm empowering women after they experience a breakup or divorce. I mean, a breakup is the same, like it's a breakup. And yes, I'm in coaching for 15 years, and I had two marriages. One was actually domestic violence, the second one when I had my kids. And then I had a long-term relationship for 16 years, which was on and off. And he broke up three times. And then we tried it a fourth time. And then I broke it up. And so I got a little bit of experience in this field. And I can really see how I feel now that this breakup and divorce, as painful as it can be, can be really a springboard for creating yourself, reinventing yourself, and really look at your life, look at yourself, and creating a life you really want to create. So, and for me, I mean, I turned 60 last year, and for me, I can see, my whole life was about relationships, working relationships out, relationships, and how it actually stopped me. For creating my life. Yeah, I was always reacting instead of acting. And yeah, and I really want to help women to find themselves, to reinvent themselves, and not waiting for 60 years. And when you break the patterns of yourself, like getting yourself out of the way, you will actually attract the relationships you want. But it all starts with ourselves.
Interesting and good topic. I think possibly all of us can relate to relationships, breakups, working ourselves out, going through stages, pain, suffer, cry, want the person back, they're not, then realizing yourself. And so what do you think the stages through for a breakup, like what are we going through if we are at the point where we actually want to break up with someone, or someone broke up with us and as well, or getting a divorce?
Well, the stages is it's interesting because I mean, like going through a divorce or breakup, and it doesn't really matter if you broke up or if it was actually better for you to break up. Like for me, instance, when my husband left, it was like answers to my prayer because like it was really, really bad. But it doesn't really matter because and losing somebody or breaking up, getting divorced is similar to losing somebody to death. It's when somebody dies, a loved one. So it's you're going through a grieving process, and many ask me, oh, how long will that take? There's no answer to that because it takes as long as it takes, because everybody deals with grief differently. And so you go through all these different stages. There was a psychologist or psychiatrist in Switzerland, Kübler-Ross, Elisabeth Kübler-Ross. She developed this cycle of grieving. And you're going through the same cycle. It's like a roller coaster of emotions. It's like, the first stage is disbelief and anger and depression and bargaining, and you're going and you don't go linear through it. It's you can be all over the show. So if you know that, it's like it's helpful because you actually normal, because you start thinking, am I crazy? So yes, knowing that you're going through a grieving process, you know, and me as a coach, you know, like I can help you with tools to dial down the pain. I mean, you still will go through pain because you have to feel your emotions. You can't just forget about them, but there's like tools and strategies that you can dial them down a little bit.
So what would you say would be the best thing for yourself after you have broken up with or have been broken up with? What would be a tool or two or three you could share with someone that is going through a breakup right now?
Well, firstly, recognizing that it's normal, but I think the biggest thing I would recommend is self-care. You have to look after yourself and not, you know, like how we all don't really want to feel pain. You know, we try to avoid pain and it's understandable, but you have to find, you know, the right balance between feeling the pain and not feeling the pain, if that makes sense. So, you know, like, for instance, you know, you can put a time limit on feeling and starting to feel into the pain. So, and you will see, well, you know, it wasn't really that bad. I can, but instead of self-bullying in it for hours and hours and days and days. And self-care, you know, like many people use alcohol, drugs, sex, shopping to distract themselves, but that will only prolong your going through the tunnel, you know, like so. Self-reflection, writing things, journaling, there's like heaps of things you can do.
So do you think breakups has also something to do with ourselves?
Well, of course, you know, it's, I mean, breakups, you see, like in society, in our lives, we have this, I mean, we are conditioned that, you know, what love should look like, you know, all the love songs in poetry and all this sort of jazz, you know, like, I mean, it's distorted. It's not how real love is, you know, like this, yeah, I don't know what you would see, you know, that's lovey-dovey thing all the time. That's your honeymoon period. And we think the honeymoon period is, it will stay forever like this. You know, like I was once, when you think about it, the first 2 years, you're running on chemicals, you know, make me feel good chemicals. And then after that, when you start noticing the little gritty bits, oh, maybe it is, you know, not, you know, like he has flaws or I have flaws and you see each other's flaws and then, oh, you know, like, what the heck happened? You know, so yeah, so my parents are married for 65 years this year, you know, like it's a long-term commitment and communication. And so I think one thing I would say, you know, this fairy tale of the prince on the white horse is like just false expectations. And what I also can see is, in relationships, there's, you know, like two halves trying to get together, making a whole, instead of two whole people getting together and living their lives together, if that makes sense. So, you know, like I get together with you because you can fill out my soul, my hole in the soul, and I fill your hole in the soul. And then after all the chemicals worn off, then, oh, you know, you should be like this to make me happy. So that's why I think it's really important after you broke up to self-reflect and see who you are and make you, you know, like feel this hole in the soul and work on your trauma or work on whatever. You don't need fixing, but when you heal yourself, you will attract totally different partners. You don't need them to make you happy, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so what would you say what is actually love, or what makes a good relationship between two people?
Well, I had once heard a definition of love, and I really liked it. When when two people get together and they're creating a nourishing environment for each other to grow to their full potential. And I mean, your potential can change, whatever. But, you know, you create this nurturing environment where each of you can grow. And if you're a healthy person, if the other person does whatever they have to do or do or interest in, you don't feel threatened. Or, you know, like they don't love me anymore because they don't spend time. There has to be this balance. And there's a me, a you, and then there's unity. And if, you know, like look at flowers, whatever, you actually, you know, give the environment enough sun, water, and nourishment in order to for both of them to grow, not just one person. And I mean, it happens a lot in relationships as well. One grows, the other doesn't grow. That happened to me. And there's this, you know, it's just when they want to stay, where they want to stay, what do you do, you know? And the thing is, if you after a breakup or divorce don't grow and don't self-reflect and look at your past and let your past and all this baggage go, you will always attract the same people. Like there's so many women who get out of an abusive relationship or out of, you know, living with an alcoholic husband. And they get out and then they find themselves in the same scenario, just, you know, like the same shit, basically, but different faces. So, you know, that's why it's so important, why I'm so passionate about it. You know, use that time to look at yourself.
Yeah. Why do you think you ended up in an abusive relationship? Because obviously your parents seem to be 65 years together. And they seem to be happy from what I gathered, or like have a big commitment that made to each other. So why do you think you ended up in this two really not so great relationships?
Good question, because I asked myself the same question, you know, like because I thought myself quite fairly intelligent and together and, you know, like you know, down to earth, and I was always my own person. And I had a boyfriend. He actually was the first one who was a little bit abusive. And you see, like I believe that there was an innate seed, whatever you want to call it, of not feeling good enough. You know, not being of the deserving. And I know when I went through my childhood, I was always the black sheep, you know, I felt not heard, not seen, and you see, like, it's interesting because, you know, like whatever relationships you get into, it's normally, I mean, it's generalization, but it's normally you try to fix some childhood trauma or some childhood stuff. You try to fix it, you know, like, for instance, and we tend to marry or be with people who are like either our father or our mother. And that's quite interesting as well, because we try to solve whatever happened in our childhood. Like, for instance, I had a client who ended up with a husband who was a drug addict, and she couldn't understand why he couldn't get out the drugs for the love of their family. And, you know, like the family should be more important than drugs, right? And I mean, A, he was addicted to drugs, so that's an issue in itself. But knowing the background of her father, who was a drug addict and alcoholic, and who didn't look after their family, his family, and was drugging and drinking. So she recreated the scenario because she wanted that, you know, somebody would give up the drugs for her. So she was more important than drugs. Does that make sense? So we recreate sometimes a scenario from our childhood to actually resolve it.
So you mean like she had this observed in her family, and then she was recreating it in her own family because that's what she knew
Yeah, not what she knew, but also she wanted that because her father didn't give up drugs and alcohol for the family. She wanted to, so she had her husband. This is all subconscious stuff. It's not like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm doing. But she wanted that a man would give up drugs and alcohol for the family so she would feel loved.
Yeah.
You know, that would be a sign of love for her, so she was better than that, you know. So and that's the thing, if you don't realize the subconscious patterns, you will repeat them. They're very, very, very subconscious, and you have to, you know, go a little bit into your subconscious to find these things. And I mean, oops, my camera is going again. And you see, 90%, some even say 95% of what we're doing, our behavior, is run by our subconscious mind. You know, like, so that's why it's so very hard. Sometimes it can be hard to change or transform by yourself. So it's good to have, you know, like somebody there, because somebody else can see your blind spot. You know, you don't know what you don't know. So, you know, like, because this is run really subconsciously, it's very hard to find it for yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, for example, for you, it was like that you felt like you were the black sheep and you pretty much had to please everyone around it. So you pretty much left someone being abusive to you in your relationship. Is that?
It serves the purpose, because you see, how can I say it? If we have a belief, as subconscious as it can be, we always find evidence for that, or we create things as evidence for it. So if you think you have this internal dialogue and think, I'm failure, I'm a failure, I'm a failure, and you know, you imagine you have like a warehouse and you have a torch, you always will put the torch on the things which support that you are a failure. Instead of switching on the light and seeing all the things you have done, and there's for sure things that you weren't a failure, but we only, so that's why it's so tricky with beliefs, because once we have formed a belief, we actually try to prove it.
So and you know that we get into relationships.
I'm better in relationships, you know?
Yeah.
It's all the self fulfilling prophecy. That's why we have to be very careful about our beliefs, and that's why.
So when did you become aware that this was not a healthy relationship for you and that you had this pattern?
After the abusive relationship, I had to look at myself, and you see, not very many people want to hear that, and it's very with caution, but when somebody's in an abusive relationship, you have to take responsibility for yourself being there. I know that sounds a little bit silly, but you see, like, okay, I'll tell you this. There's a model in coaching, and it's like a line, okay? So when you're under the line, it's like you blame, you shame people, others, you have excuses, justifications, and you're making up stories, okay? So, but that keeps you stuck. As soon as you go above the line, which takes ownership about things, responsibility and accountability. So I had a look at myself about being in an abusive relationship, because I played a part of this. A, I had, somewhere a really low self-esteem, which, so I created this and I stayed, you know, like healthy, when you have a healthy self-esteem confidence, somebody would lay a hand once at you and you would be out. But, you know, like, because the whole dynamic, then they're nice to you, then it happens again, you find excuses, and then there's this all this codependent dynamic. And a codependency is actually when you put other people's feelings before you. And I felt sorry for my husband at the time, because I knew what shitty childhood he had. I felt sorry because I could understand why he was doing what he was doing. And that actually was detrimental to me because I made excuses for him, you know, and I put up with stuff which I shouldn't have put up. So, and somebody said, if you don't, you can only control things when you take ownership about things, you know. So I had to take ownership of my part of it, you know, and it was bloody hard whilst I was in there. And now being here, I would obviously do things differently. But when you're in this situation, you can only deal with things, the resources you have, you know. And I mean, I don't beat myself up what I did and why I stayed, because that was all I knew at the time. But now I'm here, and now I have a totally different perspective of the whole thing. And now, you know, I can, and I use that perspective to help women.
So you know, what and steps
I did, yeah. Yeah, sorry.
So what, yeah, so kind of what steps did you do to, so obviously at one point you were aware of it, that you were in an abusive, unhealthy relationship, which means obviously the torch was on you. So you really kind of had to focus on yourself to change something, or at one point you were aware that this is not really healthy. But I think it possibly also takes the time to even, I guess, like become aware of such habits and where they come from, and why do we actually have them, and why do we have this beliefs, and even though once we know them, how do we change them?
Well, that, you see, that's a good question, because you know, like once you know, like all the self-development I have done and what I have learned all the time too, is we get all these concepts put in our heads, you know, like the concept of self-love, self-care. Everybody knows, I mean, especially women, okay, you know, we have to look after ourselves, self-care, self-love, but it's just a concept. So how do we do actually embody this? How do we change our behavior that reflects self-love? And the thing is, because we have this pattern, like, for instance, this myth that if you look after yourself, or, you know, you put yourself as number one, that's selfish, you know? So, and because we learned, especially as women in a family, looking after kids, we learned, you know, like we're looking after everybody else than ourselves. So the question I ask sometimes is, what would a woman do who loves herself? You know, if you are, for instance, in a situation where you have to make a decision that you really want to say no, but you have this tendency to say yes, because that's all you know, because it makes you feel bad, because when you say no. So, you know, like you have to pause and say, okay, what would a person do who loves herself? You know, that's just a simple question. Yeah. And so, you know, like your pattern of saying yes all the time, you know, and you say yes, you will be feeling shitty because you really want to say no. So you will feel shitty anyway. And if you say no, and you actually stick up for yourself, then you still will feel bad because it's unfamiliar. So you feel bad anyway. So why not choose yourself? You know, that's what I told myself. You know, I feel bad if I say yes and I really want to say no. So, you know, I will feel bad too. And when I say no, because I'm not used to it. So you feel bad anyway. But you see, after a certain time and period, it's like building a muscle, you will get used to it. And it's these little steps. You know, we think all the time, you know, we have to do these big things. It's all, I don't know, like that's a picture with stepping stones. It's stepping stones and building this muscle and being gentle with yourself and really looking at yourself, okay, you know, situation for situation. And you know, and yeah, so, and the thing is, you know, like you are the greatest gift to this world, you, me, when we are at our best. So if we're looking for ourselves and filling up our cup, we actually give to our kids, to other children, to our communities, to the world. So the better we look after ourselves, the more benefit everybody around us has.
So what would you say some habits we have are like, or how we can change them. For example, let's say, oh, what are important steps to nurture myself, look after myself? I think like one would most likely be, as you said, boundaries, but also being aware of possibly codependence / not putting others all the time first, just put your own needs first. What else would you say would empower yourself to nourish yourself and become a better, or not a better version of you, but possibly more come back to your own self of who you are and who you're comfortable with?
Well, you know, like taking ownership, you know, that gives you power. If you, there you go, it's good. If you, you see, if you blame and shame your ex all the time, that doesn't give you power. You give somebody else power over your happiness, you know? And nobody's responsible for your feelings, but it also gets to the other side. I am not responsible for your feelings. That's your stuff, man. Like, you know, so you can only control what you own. So I have to own my feelings. I have to own my thoughts. I have to own my action. And I let them own their stuff. And not, you know, because other people will blame you. That's your stuff, man. You know, if somebody gives you a piece of, shit, will you take it? You're not. You keep yours. I am looking after, you know, and people, and I think what we tend to do is also we put other people on a pedestal, you know? Like, don't put other people on a pedestal. We are all equal. We're going through different things and we have different, what would you call it, challenges. But, you know, don't put somebody on a pedestal. Like, I, you know, don't put me on a pedestal because I'm a coach. Hey, I'm still going, have to, you know, going through the layers, you know? You know, like, you go deeper. And, you know, I'm a human being. Nobody's, you know, like, better than anybody else. So, and for me, you know, dead people belong on the pedestal, you know? And also what I would say is, especially when women go through the heartache of breakup, you know, like, they tend to look at all these good times, you know, like, it's funny because I thought about it, you know, like we as human being, we tend to look always at the negative, you know, in general, you know, the negative is just, oh, you know, this shit. But in a breakup, we glorify this ex. You know, we think all about the good times. Yeah, okay, there were good times, but there were already bad times. And what I suggested in one of my lives is, you know, like write all the things down on your phone or whatever, have a list. What was shit about the relationship? What was bad? You know, what didn't work? When they invalidate, when you put them down, you know, like, yeah, I mean, you know, we seem to glorify. And then, you know, and we put us down, then it just doesn't work. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I guess like this is obviously we can't speak for all the relationships because there are more for people that have unhealthy that have possibly more like an unhealthy belief about themselves or low self-esteem, because obviously there are people that have healthy relationships and they're not you know, putting up with other people's abuse or non great behavior. So how do you help these women that are in the position where they try to figure out what their behaviors to create those situations, but also that need some empowerment? How can I get empowerment? How can I help myself? Or, you know, where am I looking to get help to understand myself and my relationship patterns? And yeah.
The answers are in you. They are all there. You can't actually get them from other people. I mean, you know, like as a coach, I call myself a tour guide with a torch. you know, so I can help you to find it, but you have to find it yourself. I mean, I don't have the answers for anybody because it's your life. You are the expert of your life, but I can help you to find, as I said, the blind spots. But, you know, like I think what people, yeah, we all trying to look out there, but when we really go within and ask good questions, you know, like, how did this happen? You know, like go and try to ask questions who go a little bit deeper, you know, and I mean, it will help much. Like, I really think most of the patterns we have established is from childhood. You know, like how did I feel? Like how did I feel in my childhood? What happened there? I mean, you know, like I felt always, for instance, me, I didn't feel seen and heard and I didn't feel important. I didn't feel like, hang on, I met it. Oh, this camera. If that makes sense, you know, I just disappeared. Oh, we forget the camera then. You don't have to see me. you know what I mean? It is, and I can see that I recreated my childhood where I felt like I didn't matter. I recreated that in my relationships. I recreated it in my work. Sorry. Give me 1 second. Yeah, so I recreated that in my relationship. My belief was I didn't matter. So I was in a relationship where I felt, you know, like he was doing always his stuff. If I wanted something, I wasn't validated. I wasn't validating my feelings. And I had the same thing when I was still working. I felt I didn't matter. And I found all the proof that I didn't matter. So we, you know, and by looking at it and, you know, seeing what is really my prime belief, and then when I found it, I don't matter, I could see it everywhere in my life. Even in my coaching, like at the beginning of the coaching, I didn't matter because anything what I had to say didn't matter because everybody knew what I knew. And that, you know, would keep me low. It would keep me small. It's very interesting. Yeah. And of course, you know, you can read books and things, and you can do courses, which helps. You know, you will learn, for instance, in my course, we learn how to dial down the pain. You will learn to write down your emotions. And you can only change what you become aware of. So you need to work on self-awareness. You cannot change anything or transform anything what you're not aware of because it's in your subconscious, in your blind spot. So you have to dig things out in awareness. And I mean, I do also hypnotherapy, which is where you switch your conscious mind, which is your critical mind, off. So you actually can go deep into your subconscious and see. And yeah, it's very, very powerful. And I'm also a certified MBIT coach, where MBIT means multiple brain integration technique. We have actually three brains, a heart brain, the head brain, and the gut brain, and I help people to align. And then you have access to your highest wisdom and you will get answers. But, you know, if your heart wants to go there and your head wants to go there and your gut is protecting you and fearful, it's very hard to, you know, be when you're incongruent to find your answers. And especially with a breakup and divorce, what I also have learned is it's like an addiction. So, you know, you don't get your endorphins anymore from the other person. So You know, like, and that's why I really think I went back 3 or 4 times to this ex, because we wanted to recreate this, what we had once. And it gives you all these good feelings. And, you know, it's like withdrawal symptoms. When you look at some of my breakups, it's like full-on withdrawal symptoms, because we create all these chemicals. They go to our brain. So a relationship can be our drug. And then when we don't have this relationship and go through our withdrawal symptoms, we actually have to create all these chemicals by ourselves. We have to be our chemical factory, you know, like, and so how do you do this? You do it through exercise, meditation, good eating, and you look at after your body, mind, and spirit. And once you learn that, to look after yourself without any outsiders and no shopping, no food, no partners, no, you know, you learn that and you find somebody who does the same. You don't, I mean, you know, you can create this nurturing environment to create for each other that you grow each as a person.
Yeah. So, yeah, you mentioned a few techniques like the body, the gut, what was that?
The heart, the head, and the gut. So yeah, in embraining, yeah, sorry.
And
yeah.
Also hypnotherapy. But can you just share a few tools that, you know, ones can do to find themselves, to empower themselves for themselves, and to also specifically after breakup, maybe some first aid techniques you can do. Like I think you said before, for example, journaling, like how would that look like?
Well, for instance, at night, you know, like I have a ritual at night. So you write down everything, like 3 or 4 or 5 things, whatever you're grateful for. And I mean, it's scientifically proven gratitude changes your brain. Okay. So, and your mood. So be grateful 3, 4, 5, whatever you choose, have a gratitude journal. So what I do is like 3 things you're grateful for, and also write down maybe 1 or 2 achievements you did during the day. You know, like, I don't know, for some people it's just getting out of bed. For some people it's going to the gym. For some people it is, you know, like not going and watch TV for 3 hours. So, you know, like what is your achievement you did for the day? Be grateful for, and then decide how do you want to get up in the morning? How do you want to feel? You want to feel energized, rejuvenated. And so you actually put it out there, you will actually feel differently how you wake up in the morning. So that's, you know, also because it's a very stressful time when you go through the breakup, I'm very much into de-stressing you and having tools how to get out of this fight flight mode. You know, so we got an autonomous nervous system. So when there's a line, you get stressed and, you know, your heart rate goes up and, you know, like your autonomous nervous system creates all this stuff, cortisol. So you are stressed and the line goes, and the other it's called parasympathetic. Like if you have a line, you see a line, an animal.
Oh, a lion. Okay.
Like you can't understand my German accent. Anyway, yeah, so you know, there's stress mode, and we are not designed to be full on in the stress mode, because then part of our brain switches off. So we have to learn ways to de-stress ourselves and get into this equilibrium. So I for instance teach it's called balanced breathing, and I work with something called heart math. So you're getting into this balance between stress and balance between totally relaxed, so you will be actually alert. So And then you can make decisions and you can see things much clearer. So for me, it's very important that. So I actually, when I do a one-on-one, I always get people in this mode so they can act, you know, they're in this balance. Because if you're too relaxed, then, you know, you're too relaxed, then that doesn't really work either. But when you're too stressed either. So I want people in this balance. So I actually teach people that breathing. So yeah, de-stressing yourself is very important, you know. Also, for instance, if you want to forget your ex, which seems to be a big thing, as I said, take your rose-colored glasses off and stop telling your story every 5 minutes, you know. Like we tell, and especially women, you tell it for your girlfriend and then another and another. And all the time you repeat this story, it stays stuck in your brain. And you create these neural pathways and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. So this even will have more impact. You will actually, by memorizing your story every 5 minutes, it will actually keep you stuck.
In the story.
You know, like, for instance, I give you a little metaphor. I used to live opposite this bushland, okay? And it was, they wanted to make tracks, but they never did. So some motorbike, kids with motorbikes went there and they created this path. And then people took their dogs and the path would get bigger and bigger, okay? And then one day it was summer and the snakes would come and nobody would go there anymore. And then the path would grow over and you couldn't see path anymore. It's the same with your brain. The more you use that pathway, like your ex, you make it bigger and bigger and it will be more profound, and it will have more impact on you. So, but if you don't activate this pathway, it will get shrink. And after, you know, after a while, it shrinks and shrinks and shrinks. And then, yeah. You know, like your ex will go into the distance. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to wait for the snake. So, you know, what I told myself when I was going through my divorce or breakups is I actually put like 2 minutes on, okay, I can think about him for 2 minutes and I can, you know, be painful. But then I would refocus my energy to something else. Because what you focus on, you give energy and you make it bigger. So you really have to, you know, take control of your mind and say, okay, 2 minutes and then that's it. Things like that.
So how do you deal with, that loss that you found, the loss that you have, so you kind of, obviously you can give yourself time to grieve over a breakup and then, yeah, you have like different methods you can help yourself to
just dial down the pain, you know, like empower yourself, look at yourself, do different choices, different decisions, which are more you. And for instance, you know, if you want to go back into dating one day, really nail down your values. What are your values? What's your non-negotiables if you find somebody else again? And really be clear about it. So if there's like one non-negotiable, one red flag, it's no, you know. And even if they tell you 10 times how much they love you. And, you know, like that sort of thing, when you love yourself, you know, like you're loving yourself, your self-love. I heard once that the universe will give you as much love as you give yourself. You know, so this is, loving yourself is a prime relationship you need to have. And then if you love yourself, you are not dependent on some man who tells you, I love you so much. You know, and you get, oh, somebody loves me. I feel so special. You see, like, it's nice to have it. Don't get me wrong. But if we be dependent on this and it feels this sour in myself, you know, like I'm a little bit on dating sites sometimes. And, you know, like I have guys, like, they tell me after 2 days, I love you. You're so beautiful. And I thought, really? Like, go away. You see, it doesn't make me feel good or better or whatever because I know my self-worth. I know who I am. I don't need this that, you know, like somebody after 2 days says, Oh, I love you, and you're so beautiful. Yeah, cool, man. You don't even know me. How can you love me? You know, like, so, you know, like not being dependent on this self, this validation of other people, and really starting to know or even recreate who do you want to be as a person? Who do you want to be? And be that. You know, if you want to be a kind, caring, confident, okay. So if you want to be confident, be confident. You don't have to wait for being confident. You just be confident and you do little steps which support that. You see, like, we think and we are taught that it's a model to have, to do, to be. Okay, so if I have $1 million, I will do this and this and this, like I can travel or buy a car, Rolls Royce, and then I will be happy. But it's actually the totally different other way around. Because then you have, like, you give the outside world or what you have, the, you know, if I have this shining prince on the white horse, I will be happy forever, blah, blah, blah. So you give outside forces the key to your happiness. That's not empowerment. That is giving your power away. But if the other way around is to be, to do, to have. So if you're being a certain way, you behave a certain way, and then you will have. So if I'm being empowered, just make it up, you're being empowered or confident, you will do things differently, and then you will have. And try that on. Because it's all in the being, how we are being right now. Not next year, not then. Oh, when I have this and this and this, I will be. No, you have to be that today. And then, and for instance, getting a different partner or a new partner, you have to be the partner you want to have. Otherwise, it's just like a substitute for what you don't have. And then there's your power. You have to be that first.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really valuable because, yeah. Yeah.
No, we're waiting for this other people to make us happy. You have to be happy first. Because otherwise they have all the power for your happiness. So they treat you nice, they say the right thing, they do the right thing, you know, then you will be happy. But if they don't do that anymore, then, oh, you know, you are so mean. You blame other people. Take responsibility, take ownership. If they don't treat you the right thing, well, and what I see in what I have learned is too, well, while relationships don't work, is there's no communication. There's no real communication between people. No, nobody knows how to talk. Communication, that's things we should learn in bloody school. You know, for instance, we have filters for the other person. You know, I used to have a filter for my ex, okay? I know how he is, what he says, blah, blah, blah. So whatever the other person says, it goes through our filters, and then we don't even hear what they're saying because we already know what they're saying. And we are so busy not really hearing what they're saying or understanding what they're saying and saying where they come from. We're so busy to responding that we don't even hear. That's why Stephen Covey says, listen for the sake of, I don't know, like paraphrase, listen to the for the sake of understanding the other person, not to respond. Because we are, yeah, do we really be present with the other person when we speak? Or is it, you said the wrong thing, you're doing the wrong thing, you're supposed to be making me happy?
I think also, what you're talking about is not necessarily for women and men. I think it actually really refers to any relationship. I feel
any
relationship between, you know, same sex parents, partners,
kids.
Yeah.
You're talking to your kids, you know, and the other thing is we have these expectations how things should be. And then when they are not that way, we get shitty. We have this expectation, like how things should be, how a man should be, how a woman should be, how this, and this is all our conditioning. And when it's not, you know, like, and then when it's not happening, it's, oh, it should be this way. Who says it should be this way? Where did you read this? I should be more like this. Who says? And then question, where do you get this belief from?
Mm.
You know, did you read it in a book? Do you have it from your parents, for society? You know? Who says how things should be?
Yeah, no one.
Well, you have to make that up yourself, but, you know, you have to question where you get this belief system from. And, I mean, I think growing up and relationships, I mean, relationships are there for us to grow, you know. And there's another misconception. We think everything should last forever. No, not everything lasts forever. It just doesn't. There's nothing as constant as change. And, you know, we, and so, you know, like, and especially marriages, people change, people have, you know, grow differently, people have different needs, people, you know, didn't talk to each other. So, you know, and if there's a breakup or a divorce, it is for a reason, you know, because the relationship was obvious, even, you know, like if you break up, they break up, obviously there's something missing or something not addressed and some, you know, so, I mean,
I think you can grow together because ultimately you bring yourself into any other relationship afterwards as well. That doesn't necessarily mean it gets better. And I also think that relationship is also commitment, and it's not always an easy path.
Easy streets,
but you can definitely have a relationship that lasts long.
Definitely, definitely. And as I said, communication is consideration, communication, seeing where the other person comes from, you know, getting in the world of the other person, you know, like because we think always we are right, they are wrong. It's not true. Like in their head, they are right and we are wrong, you know. So how can we actually communicate that, you know, we understand each other, like sort of to agree to disagree without making the other one wrong all the time, you know. It goes by both way. Why do we make them wrong? You know, and then it's actually in a big, and it's also in the world. Like, why you, I can't really say that you're wrong and I'm right. Because if I would be in your shoes, I would be thinking the same thing. And this goes on a global way between countries and wars and stuff. You know, people always, and especially in a relationship, yes, you have to be looking after yourself. But if you're in a relationship, you know, there has to be communication, understanding, you know, and I think if you, it's very hard when one grows and the other doesn't grow, because then that was in my experience that I couldn't really communicate. I found it really hard to communicate because whatever I said wasn't received in the right way. So, but I had to take responsibility for my communication as well. So if somebody doesn't understand it, I have to go on a different level so they do understand, you know, like, so it's all growing, it's all relationships, it's, you know, evolving as a person. And we don't evolve as a person if we are not in a relationship. You know, like there's a saying, no man is an island. We cannot actually grow if we by ourselves. This is all there for us to grow, for them to grow, for us, you know, it is, that's the beauty of it, for being a human being, because we need each other to grow and evolve. And it sometimes it doesn't look like the perfect thing, you know, we married and it should last for 100 years. Sometimes it's just, you know, people come in our lives, they go, there's just like this exchange for really the betterment of everybody when you look at it. That's beautiful. But you know, we have this misconception that everything has to be perfect and has to look like this and look like this. And, you know, like he should be like this and I should be like this. It's just like crazy. People really have to chill. Like, I have this thing, it's one thing to accept what is, you know, acceptance is a very big step of growth. And even, you know, like that's why acceptance is the last step for the grieving process, is accepting what is. And then you move on.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you look at it, you know, like when something happens, it's all neutral. It doesn't mean anything. For the universe, for the world, something happens, an event happened. And then we put our little interpretation there. Oh, you know, I shouldn't be like this. No. How we interpret this event is how we makes us feel. If we get into the acceptance, this is what happened without any things attached, no judgment, that's happened. You know, it doesn't. So how do you feel when you accept something? You can move on. You can create new things. You know, stuff, you know, like here. I had once a client, he had a, funny behaviors. That was before I had my niche. And we went back to when he was three, and his mother dumped him on the grandparents and he stayed there for 9 months. Not talking about abandonment issues, but his grandmother told her husband, the grandfather, don't give him any lollies, you know. And then one day the grandfather gave him a lolly. Grandmother came in and she made this big rage. And he formed the belief that he was bad. He got his dad, granddad into it, but he was bad. And then, you know, I said to him, so what if you would have put a different meaning on it? You know, like your grandmother could be the last lolly, could be a special lolly. She could have a sibling who died and choked on a lolly, because I happened to my daughter when she was really nearly. You know, so she could have had a bad day. Someone could have died, whatever, you know. So what I'm saying is, when you have an event or something happens, even, you know, at the present, your ex says something, whatever, what meaning do you attach to this? All meanings are actually made up. They're false. So you can create 10 different meanings. So then choose the meaning which makes you feel the best. We are making meaning machines.
Yeah.
So you are making meaning machine. What meaning do you attach to events? Oh, he left me. I'm useless. I'm not good enough. I'm not sexy enough. I'm not slim enough. La 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 la. No, maybe he just left you because he left you. Maybe he has to experience a thing, different thing in his life. You know, giving other people the freedom to experience their lives according to them doesn't mean anything about you. Maybe he just, what happened?
Yeah, it's like where everyone is in life is also an important thing to see. And I feel like that's the thing on what belief do we have about relationships? Why do we think we need it? What do we need? And also, why do we stick with things when we actually feel it doesn't feel right? I remember when I was a teenager, my friends were always like, if I go out, I nearly go like a tick off list. And if it doesn't fit, I wouldn't be in a relationship with someone. And I'm like, but yeah, it's to me, it's actually not like that I'm deserting someone or reject someone. But if you already know that most of the values and interests and things are not shared, and I think there are some valuable keys that make also a relationship a good relationship. And
of course.
I think not necessarily you need to go with a visual list out, but I think what you said before is like knowing exactly what you really want in someone and communicate this with the person when you meet someone, because I found that, you know, let's say if someone, and I mean, we have all observed this in ourselves, in our surroundings where people got divorced and separated, that obviously if one person likes to travel and the other person not, the question is, you can be that way, but then you need to be this person that is really open and accepting of that there are two different people, and you accept the other person to be still the person that they are, which, I mean, is healthy in the first place, in my opinion. But to let them be and explore that and support them. But if you can't be this person, then it's possibly better finding someone that wants to do the same things as you, like working 9 to 5, staying in the same place, or being an adventurer, traveling. That's at least what I really discovered in a lot of relationships that I've observed or I've been in, that in the end of the day, love, what you said at the start, and all the hormones and the and the kind of honeymoon phase is all great, but if you are together with someone for 10, 20, 30 years, I feel it's definitely commitment, but it's also that you have a love and appreciation for the person, but that this kind of fairy tale things can wear away, and in the end of the day, what are you sharing then? And I feel relationships should be also there to share, share your life, sharing nice moments and be harmonious. So I just wanted to add this.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you know, like, and then, you know, like some people have kids, you know, I just talked over the weekend with people, one had 5 kids, one had 6 kids. And then you have kids, and then, you know, like the relationship just wanes off because, you know, like especially women, they're so busy looking after the kids, you know, and then man goes and works and I mean, really, you know, like you should really have like dating nights, even if you don't have it every week, but organize some dating nights. So you nurturing that relationship, because that's the most relationship in a family, you know, like you have to nurture that. It needs like a flower. It needs nurturing, you know, it needs communication. It needs special moments and creating rituals and all of that, you know. Communication, it's can be a beautiful thing. I'm not like, you know, and finding that person and commitment is, yeah, well, if it's not the idea, whatever, you know, like talk, try to serve. I mean, I remember my dad, yeah, commitment. I mean, that's, I think, why they married for so long, is like my dad wanted to go windsurfing, you know, windsurfing. And then he thought about it and he said, you know, but then my mom and us two kids would be just sitting on the sideline to watch, and that wasn't together. So he actually changed his tune, and he decided to go sailing. So everybody could go on the boat and we all had fun. You see, like just things like that. And it's consideration and you know, yeah, it's...
Yeah, it's also the view on things. I mean, you're still two individual people in the end of the day that are together, and, you know...
Yeah, and I mean, if one would like to travel...
It's the same after your own self. It's the same as being yourself with someone else.
But you always have to think, if you look at life like a game, it's just, you know, like it will, it's sort of totally different. You know, we take everything so serious, you know, like just look at a game and go with the flow. You know, like I just love to go with the flow now, you know, like, I mean, I just, you know, I said to my ex when we got back together, I said, you know, my life is like a river now. I'm going with the flow. And if trees falling in, I will pick them out, you know, like, or, you know, obstacles that go wrong because water is flowy and, you know. And he said, I will never be your tree in your life anymore. But it wasn't true. I had to pick him out again. He interrupted my flow. You know, it wasn't right. I knew it. So you know, like try to have a little bit of fun. And people forget to have fun. You know, like have some fun, man, like play.
Yeah.
But anyway. Well,
I guess this is a good finish.
Yeah, sentence. I don't know
have
what time is.
Oh, yeah. Play.
Go with the flow and, you know, enjoy life. You know, write down and look at the things you have instead of the things you don't have.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I will.
No worries.
Link your contact details in the show notes.
Thank you.
People from all over can contact you if they would like to work on themselves after their breakup or want to be empowered in general.
Well, I got a Facebook group called Springboard After Divorce or Breakup for women. So that's this. And then, yeah, you can put my my website in, and I got a 45-minute free training session. So it teaches you 5 shifts, how you can recreate and reinvent yourself to create a life you really want. So it's I talk a little bit about confidence and the making meaning machine and a little bit of embraining the 3 brains. So yeah, just have a look at that.
Awesome.
Okay. And then you can, you know, if you want, you can have a chat with me. Always happy to chat with people.
Awesome.
Thank you for the opportunity. And nice meeting you. I mean, it was great. Good on Justin, who put us together.
Yes. All right. I will stop the recording.